It says, verse 7 again says, if a man shall sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. If she please not her master, who has betrothed her to himself. Now, when you look at the word betrothed, it means to fix upon, by agreement or appointment, by implication to meet. And you get that associated a lot of time when you're looking at someone that's looking to marry or something like that. So again, verse 8 says, if she pleased not her master who has betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a stranger, a strange nation. He shall have no power, seeing he has dealt deceitfully with her. Verse 9 said, if he have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. Then it says, if he take him another, implying wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And so when you look at verse 7, 8, and 9, it's giving us an understanding of what betrothed is and things like that, okay? Verse 10 again said, if he take him another wife, his wife is italicized, if he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall not diminish. It shall not lessen, in a nutshell. Then verse 11 said, and if he do not these three unto her, then she shall go out free. She shall go out free without silver. Free without silver. Verse 12, I'm just trying to see if there's something I need to deal with it now. Before I move from verse 11. Okay. It's pretty much self-explanatory, I guess. Verse 12 says, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if any man lie not in wait, but Yah deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whether he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. I mean, does everybody understand what that is as we're dealing with this here? Pick up, forever hold your peace, because I'm going to keep moving. Are we understanding, huh?
What you just read?
Yeah. Huh? What did you say?
Uh-uh.
Oh. Okay. Which verse you need to go back up to that you don't understand?
The part where you just read, what did you say? If any man.
What verse? What are you talking about where I said if any man?
Verse 12.
Okay. verse 12 said, he that smiteth a man so that he died. So when you look at the word smited here, it basically means punish, slaughter, to strike in a nutshell. Strike a man so that he die, shall be surely put to death. In other words, it's kind of like the eye for the eye kind of deal. Then in verse 13 said, and if a man lie in wait,
lie not in wait,
but Yah deliver him. If nobody's chasing him in a nutshell, if nobody's chasing him, but Yah deliver him into his hand, it says, then I will report thee a place whether he shall flee. When you look at some things as far as our law is concerned, whenever someone killed someone and they were places that were more or less called safe havens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so once they fled to those places, because you had the priest that was located in every tribe, so to speak. And so whenever something would take place, they would have these places, these safe haven sanctuaries that they could flee to. And once they got there, nobody could kill them.
Unless they came out of those places.
Yeah.
If they came out, you kill them.
Right.
If they stayed there, you couldn't.
Right. And it may say that as we continue to read. Then it says, verse 12, he that smites a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if any man lie not in wait, but Yah deliver him into his hand, then I will point thee a place whether he shall flee. But if the man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, now when you look at what guile is, armor, which means trickery, willingly or wisdom, he's planning to do it, then it says, thou shalt take him from mine altar, that he may die. In other words, if somebody does it premeditated,
murder versus manslaughter. Right. And murder, it ain't no sanctuary. Manslaughter, you can find sanctuary. Right. So, and so, is that the manslaughter? No, manslaughter is you kill somebody, but there was no intent, nor so if I ran over somebody in my car. They ran out into the road. I killed them. It's manslaughter, but it's not murder. I didn't have no intent killing them. It's manslaughter.
Right.
Murder is when I plotted, I don't like you, and I'm going to kill you. That's murder.
Right, and that's why it says in verse 14, but if any man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, again, the word guile means trickery, wisdom, willingly, presumptuously, means to be, it deals with proud or it deals proudly from that perspective. So it shows that there's premeditation, you know, devious behind it. Yah says in a nutshell that individual is not going to be protected by making it to his altar. He said that person will surely die. Verse 15 said, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he says he shall surely be put to death. Now, when you look at the word stealeth, it means to deceive.
Is it like human trafficking kind of thing?
I mean, it could be.
I'm saying selling him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It could be, but it deals with that, but it kind of goes in a little bit more detail from the perspective of the stealing. I'm saying he that steals a man and selling him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And when you look at these different definitions, it says I'm just trying to look at these different definitions just to see if there's in there, because I want to take everything out of the word that it can. And so there's a lot of things going on with my mind as far as the word still is concerned. And so I'll just leave it at that from the perspective of kidnapping or secretly bringing, as it's dealing with some things. Then it says, sell it to him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. There are some other laws that I'm thinking of, but I want to make sure before I comment on it. He that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, when you deal with the word curses, obviously it's different from what America talked about as far as cuss is concerned. The American term is just not anywhere close to, because the word curses means it means to bring into contempt, despise, make somewhat move, esteem. So when you look at the word esteem, although you may have American terms that may mean some things from this perspective, but when you look at the Hebrew meaning of the word curse, it has to fly across the board, and America's term is not the standard by which the world go by, and so that's why, you know, we may look at the word cuss, you know, as I dealt with it, some things. Before, we may look at the word cuss and then say, well, that's what's going on here from a perspective of, if you cuss somebody, you're not esteeming them and things like that. Yeah, you could say that, but I wouldn't put that in a category with the Bible. Bible talk about it, because those words have different meanings depending on the circumstance. And that's why, you know, I always say it from that perspective. Again, and he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if a man strive, and if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. In other words, be clean. My computer's rolling. Okay, be quick, be clean, be guiltless, so on and so forth. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and he shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. Okay, and you know, in other words, he has to, you know, it's kind of like the way things work today. I mean, you're responsible, if it's an accident or something like that, and the individual is responsible for hurting someone, then, you know, they have to pay for the damages and things like that. And that's basically what this is saying here in a nutshell. If a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. And when you look at things from that perspective, you know, you get a lot of them, you know, people, especially that had slaves and things like that, they went by these laws of our nation. And so, even though, you know, some of it may have been, you know, with bad intentions, there were laws and things that they did, and that's why, you know, slaves were treated as property and things like that, because there's scriptures here that basically comes across showing that to be the case. in some areas. Because verse 21 says, notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, colon, for he is his money, or he is, he was bought with his money, he's his possession, so to speak. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according to the woman's husband will lay up on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. Verse 23 said, if any mischief follow, then he shall give life for life. Now, when you look at the word mischief, mischief is basically hurt, especially when you go back up to verse 22, that's what it's implying too. If a man strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, no hurt follow, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband will lay up on him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. And if any mischief follow, then he shall give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if any man smite the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. I mean, is anything, any part of this, anybody not understanding?
So what you're saying, he made her have a miscarriage? He made her have a miscarriage?
Uh-huh. Verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband will lay up on him, and he shall pay as the judges determined. And if mischief follow, then he shall give life for life. He shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if any man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. Or put out a person's eye, put out a servant's eye, then you have to let the servant go. Verse 27, and if he smite out his servant's tooth, or his maid servant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. When you hit him and knock the tooth out. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned. And his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. He'll be blameless. But if the ox, were wont to push with his horn in times past, I mean, he's busy with this in times past. He had a history of this, and it has been testified to his owner, and he has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, then the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. Well, there's a lot of responsibility as far as these things are concerned, but it's just things you could get away with.
Yep,
man, I mean, they keep you straight. And what we have to understand is that there are a lot of these things, or these things will come into law again once we're back in the land and things like that. We're going to have to fall back within the order of the law, statutes, and judgment. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. And the church really has a difficult time with that because, the church, again, just think, it's just a matter of going to heaven or whatever. But I mean, it's just clear that there are some things that we're going to have to do, and it's going to continue on once we get back in the land and we have to start falling back within these laws. And that's what, you know, again, I just can't say it enough. This is one of the things that the church just doesn't get. And, you know, what do we, I mean, even when you just think about it, what do we do? I mean, what do we do when Christ returns if it's just about church services? If that's all the church is accustomed to doing, and the church thinks that is the process by which you, you know, you get to heaven from church service, obviously lifestyle, and, you know, line up with words and stuff like that. But, I mean, what does the church think that it's going to be doing in the millennium? I mean, if we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ, and we are, and we're going to be doing it with the rod of iron, what's going to be the law of statutes and judgment? What is there going to be to go by? Exactly. I mean, that's the truth, and it shows how far off the church is. I mean, when you just think about it from a simple question like what I just asked, I mean, what is it that the church is going to do? What is going to take place during this thousand-year millennial reign? What are we going to do? Everybody just going to go to church, Bible study every day?
It's going to be kind of impossible, too, because there ain't going to be one temple. And everybody ain't going to be where that one temple is.
Exactly. Nations going to have to come in and out of it. And so there are things that's going to be in place all over the world. The thing is going to be in place all over the world, and all implications show in the scripture that nations are going to be allowed to come in, I believe, annually to worship in you know, basically to pay homage to the Savior. And so when you look at all these things going on, there has to be laws for people to obey. It's not going to be just, you know, like the laws now, where, you know, you can't run the light, the red light, and all that kind of stuff, whereby you have law enforcement in place. No, when Christ returns, his law, statutes, and judgment are the law, statutes, and judgment of the kingdom of heaven. God's law, statutes, and judgment is going to be in place. And so there are things that's going to have to be done. And it's just important for that to be understood, you know. Verse 30 says, if there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid up on him, whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to the judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another's that he died, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also shall be divided. They shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox has used to push in time past, and his owner has not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. And so basically, in a nutshell, is when you look at the laws and statutes and judgments of Yah, it makes everything equal. It makes everything fair. You know, it's never done. Nothing is never done with the law, statutes, and judgments of Yah, whereby it makes the individual say, like you doing, you know, like what takes place in the court system and stuff like that today, that, you know, man, that's not fair. Everything is laid out where it's equally fair across the board, and it prevents people from from getting away with what they shouldn't get away with, and it also prevent people from being judged harshly, harshly when they shouldn't be. It balances everything. Okay, we're going to 22. It says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox, and four sheep, for a sheep. But they're making sure they don't want to steal nothing. And when Alan had mentioned by steal a man, that's what I was thinking about this right here. That's why I was kind of hesitant, because I knew it was something in the scripture that talked about stealing animals, and I was trying to make sure that it wasn't trying to include it all in that verse. Because I knew it was something about selling animals, but I couldn't remember where it was. Stealing and selling animals, but I couldn't remember. Again, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox, and four sheep for a sheep. I mean, can you imagine, boy, if you steal an ox and kill it, you got to pay with five? You think that'll keep people from messing with folks' stuff? Hey, you ain't joking. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed. Now, what y'all think breaking up is? If a thief be found breaking up. Burglary. Yeah. If a thief be found in burglary and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. And you see, that's what they do. They follow a lot of these laws. They just don't want to admit it. And so it's kind of like, you know, what they had, you know, told me concerning, you know, our property was like, you know, you can't do nothing if somebody's on the outside, but if an individual is inside and is inside burglarizing and you feel threatened in any way, but they like, you have a right to take your property. So basically, in a nutshell, they saying this right here, you have a right, because there were a few copper thieves that ended up getting killed for breaking into this guy's place, and I mean, all they did was came and got the bodies and then charged that guy with anything. And so that's what you see, these laws were in place back then. Verse 3 says, if the sun be risen up on him, there shall be blood shed for him. You understand that? You understand that? If the sun, think about it. If he's breaking in the house, what's that most likely?
If the sun?
If the sun be risen, but I'm talking about from the perspective of verse 2.
Well, if he's breaking
in the house, most likely not. Okay, so if the sun be risen, I'll be risen up on him.
Okay,
that come? Yeah, but what does it mean by the sun be risen up on him?
If he break in during the daytime, or if he get caught in the daytime. If it become daylight, I think such that you can see who it is,
mm-hmm.
then the next part applies. I think in the other part where they breaking in, you ain't got a clue who it is, you might kill them. No blood should be shed. But it's almost like if it's daylight,
if the sun be risen up on him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution if he have nothing. If he have nothing, he shall be sold. He shall be sold for his theft. I'm gonna go to verse 4. And if the thief be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. I'm curious about verse 3. That's why I'm kind of hesitant to move on from it. Because I thought 2 and 3 was connected.
So if you kill them at nighttime, it ain't no penalty.
Right.
But if you kill them in daytime, when you see who it is, then
yeah, that's why I wouldn't move. Because that's what I was seeing, and I wanted to make sure before we moved on.
It also gives the impression too, in cold blood after you got away.
Right. Yeah, I mean, either way, and that's what I was trying to make sure. That's why I wasn't moved on, because that bear witness with what I was seeing. Okay, verse 2, I'm going to go to verse 2 again. Verse 2 says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he died, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, because it's dealing with the same him, and that's why I was kind of hesitant about it. If the sun be risen up on him, there shall be blood shed for him from the same vein, or if he's killed. Like what Alan said, if he's identified, I mean, if it's daylight, you can see the individual and kill him during that time frame, then, again, it says, if the sun be risen up on him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full... for he should make full restitution.
So it's basically...
It means to be safe.
If he get identified, he can make restitution. You can't kill him. If you kill him, then your blood will be required at his hands like anybody else.
Right. And so that's what restitution means. It says he should make full restitution. In other words, you see him, you're able to identify him. Then it says, if he have nothing... then he shall be sold for his theft. And so, in a nutshell, yeah. And so it's saying once he's identified, then, you know, it's wrong to kill him once you identify and ain't able to say, well, this is the person who did it, because you have to understand the way that our tribes and things were. You know, it wasn't like he could, you know, rob something and then go over there with his family. And his family hiding, because you're looking at laws and statutes and judgments that stood up that all of our nation understood, and from our nation understanding it, you know, no one would break laws to cover even for a loved one. It was serious stuff. And so since these laws was laid out and everybody understood them, you know, there was consequences that was associated with it, and even you had family members that wouldn't protect them. That's why the scripture says in the future that you're going to have parents that's going to be bringing their sons to the judges, so to speak, saying saying, basically, in a nutshell, kill this individual because he don't want to line up. He's rebellious. He don't want to line up with the law, statutes, and judgment that we're supposed to, you know, that's in the land, in a nutshell. And so you see that same mindset. So if that person was identified, then people wasn't going to try to hide him like you do now. You know, we know loved one done this or that, and we just won't say nothing. Well, not during this time frame. They told it. And so because of it, because he, you know, it was a law for him to be exposed or they would tell, in a nutshell, restitution could be made, then it was against our laws to kill that individual if you saw him. Because he could be identified and he could be dealt with from their perspective. Breaking the law, statutes, and judgments during this time was always dealt with. And so that's why you see it done here. So the guy was like, you know, somebody breaking the house, you know, you didn't have to feel like you had to physically do something to him during the daylight. You saw him. You just said, man, okay, man, you've been in here. You know what the law says, in a nutshell. And so things were carried out from that perspective. Again, if the sun be risen, verse 3, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the thief be certainly found in his hand, alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. You know, and I mean everything was just so fair, and I mean I can't wait till these laws are back in place. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn, which is wheat, or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindleth the fire shall surely make restitution. Again, everything is just laid out. Verse 7, if a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money, or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's good. Good for all men of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of thing lost, which another challenges to be his, that cause the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. Now understand that? Okay. I won't stop if no one says anything. Verse 10, if a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeth it, then shall an oath of Jehovah be between them both, that he had not put his hand unto his neighbor's good. In other words, you lose the kind of deception. Say, man, somebody stole your, you know, somebody stole your car, but all the time they got the car kind of thing. And the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. Y'all seeing it? And he shall not make it good. It is that if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, that he shall not make, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow, you know, if that was just torn, you know, like wild beast or something like that, get it, okay? An animal, you know, preyed up on it or something like that. You know, if an animal prey up on it, if it be torn in pieces, then let him bring for a witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof, being not with it, he shall surely make it good. Okay? You know, just kind of give an example. I let Brother Law use my car, and he used it and wrecked it, and I wasn't with him, then, you know, he'd have to make it good. But if I was with him, he's saying that I'm not, he wouldn't have to make it good. If a man borrow aught of his neighbor and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof, being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. Okay? You know, it's kind of like, you know, brother-in-law bring his lawnmower to the over here to the house, and it get torn up while he's here with it, then based upon the law, he don't have a right to make me fix it because he was here with it. Kind of deal, man. Verse 16 says, if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. Y'all see that? If a man entice a maid, you know, y'all understand what entice means, right?
Yes.
If he's like lured, you know, in or something like that. If her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins, the price of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now you understand why they were killing that. They killed magicians and sorcerers and things like that. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. You know, bestiality and stuff. Okay? And so, he that sacrificeth unto any god save unto Jehovah only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Now, you notice they just said put to death, but then, there's a lot of interesting definitions in here where it says shall utterly be destroyed. It means seclude, to devote to religious uses physically and reflexive, to be blunt as to the nose, make a curse, consecrate. So when you look at destroy, he's like, if you worshiping any other Yah except for Jehovah, basically in a nutshell is saying they're not being allowed to be a part of the nation. I just say it from that perspective. And you know, obviously when you look at, you know, separating from Yah, obviously it's gonna end up having some form of destruction. But it's more to than just the instruction that we understand it. It deals with it from a perspective, even when you get over in the New Testament, and it basically says, you know, have nothing to do with certain people who try to mislead and things like that. You know, so that's what, when you look at it, it's along this same vein. He that sacrificed unto any god save unto Jehovah only, he shall be utterly destroyed. It could mean slave, but at the same time, it deals with a lot of definitions associated with that. Thou shalt not vex. Was anybody saying that? Thou shalt not vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in a land in the land of Egypt. In other words, when you look at that, dealing from from a stranger, you know, it's talking about from a perspective of, you know, distress a person that is not a stranger among our nation. And say, okay, you remember you was a stranger, and how how you were treated when you was a stranger in the land of Egypt, and from that standpoint, you shouldn't want, or we shouldn't want to do people like the way we were treated. Verse 22 says, ye shall not afflict any widow or the fatherless or the fatherless. And when you look at that, it means, in a nutshell, deal harshly with. Okay? Hurt or do anything along those lines of treating a widow or the fatherless, you know, in a bad way. Okay? Again, verse 22 says, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. A fatherless child, if thou afflict them in any way, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Let me plan. I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Basically, in a nutshell, what you do to a widow or the fatherless, then y'all fix it where that happens to the wife and also the children. Okay.
That person likes the children.
Yeah, like I said, for instance, if you're a widow and brother-in-law is fatherless, and if I afflict y'all, treat y'all harsh, then y'all said, my wrath is going to happen, and I'm going to make your wife a widow and your children fathers. He said, I'm going to make your family what you criticizing or you afflicted. And that's it. Verse 25, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer. Neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. Usury. Well, when you look at the word usurer, it means interest. You should not be his creditor. Then it says, neither shalt thou lay upon him interest, in a nutshell. Okay, you're not, once you do it, you don't be an extortioner to him. You know, you don't allow him to borrow, from a perspective of you becoming his creditor, in a nutshell. And then you don't lay interest on it. So it deals with it from kind of like a twofold perspective. If you lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer. Again, security or interest creditor. Taken on as a creditor. Neither shalt thou lay upon him usury, which is a little bit different, whereas it deals with interest and a debt. Interest on the debt, so to speak. Okay.
I think the first one, when you talk about it being a usurer, like a creditor, one of the things it says under there is like extortionist, etc. So it gives the implication that, you lend this person some money, and they already fool, but you be like, well, I'm going to take this from you, and I'm going to take that from you, and I'm going to do this kind of stuff, because they owe it,
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have a right to do that. They owe it, and they have to pay you back, but you can't be threatening them because they owe you.
Right. I'm good. Verse 26 says, if thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the sun goeth down. Y'all understand that? In other words, if I give you my shirt as a pledge, as a pledge to bind me to something, so to speak. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down, colon, for that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. The ruler of thy people. You don't revile the judges, so to speak. When you look at it from that perspective, disrespect. I'm just trying to find words. Esteem them, you know, low or something like that. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the rulers of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to suffer the first, delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruit and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shall thou give unto me. Likewise shall thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me. And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast. In the field, ye shall cast it to the dogs. Okay, we're going to stop here because it's just mainly just reading through these chapters, and it's really not a whole lot to discuss with them because it's just explaining the laws and what we're to do based upon those laws. And so it's not a whole lot to explain. So we'll just go ahead and stop right here on time. It's a little bit after 8. Father, Yahweh, we just thank you for just having an opportunity to sit down and get in your word and just read to understand how fair and straightforward our laws, statutes, and judgments were and still are to this day. And we just bless you for them. We know that some of them we're not able to fully carry out because we're in captivity, but we look forward to the day that we can obey your word to its fullest. We bless you in the name of our Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right.